Caller, would you read item 56, please?
Adopt the Invasive Species Strategy 2020-2030, Portland at the Crossroads Policy.
Man, I appreciate the mayor so much more. I understand now why he's moving paper around all the time. Colleagues, this resolution establishes the city's policy on combating invasive species to better protect the city's natural and built assets and to protect the health of our urban watersheds. City Council adopted its first citywide invasive plants strategy over 10 years ago. As a result, boroughs have worked together and created effective community and other local, state, and federal partnerships. It is now time to re-up the city's commitment to protecting our parks, natural areas, urban forests, and green infrastructure. And as we all know, climate change is here and has opened the door to new dangerous invasive species. Today's presentation will show how the city can stay ahead of that challenge and how Portland can continue to be a national leader in invasive species management and prevention. First, we'll hear from Bureau Directors of Environmental Services, Parks, and Planning and Sustainability. Mike, Adina, and Andrea, would you please join us at the dais? Welcome. Good morning. Who's on first?
I am.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Madam Council President, members of the Council, thank you for having us today and giving us an opportunity to talk about this important resolution. Today's resolution presents a proactive strategy that makes environmental and fiscal sense. By working together and taking an asset management approach, our bureaus are protecting valuable city infrastructure in the most cost-effective manner. To illustrate that point, you are going to see a presentation from staff. There's a particular picture I'd like you to pay attention to in that. It is a pipe that is completely clogged with quagga mussels from Michigan. I can tell you from our bureau's perspective, a proactive approach to keeping those kinds of species out of our region will save us literally millions of dollars in maintenance costs every year. It's an important way for us to save, avoid those costs in the future. The resolution today before Council strongly endorses a prevention-based strategy, stopping the arrival of new invasive animal and plant species before they wreak havoc, and effectively managing those that are already here. This preventive asset management approach is also a cost savings approach. We believe that for every dollar we invest in prevention of these kinds of species from arriving and controlling them, we save up to $35 in remedial costs in the future. Today, we're asking Council to adopt this updated strategy and resolution as the city's guiding plan on invasive species to save costs and to keep our multi-billion dollar systems of natural and engineered assets working. And I'll pass it on to, I think, Adina's next.
Thank you, Mike. Good morning, Commissioners. I'm Adina Long, Director of Portland Parks and Recreation. Thank you for having us here today. Portland Parks and Recreation manages nearly 11,000 acres of shared public land across the city, from urban plazas to river docks, from developed parks to golf courses, and of course, Forest Park, which is our region's largest natural area. Our city's public spaces provide habitat for wildlife, support biodiversity, and deliver ecosystem services. They also serve as outdoor classrooms to teach environmental education and build the next generation of stewards. We also know that this shared land is providing important public health benefits to our community by filtering water, purifying our air, and mitigating the urban heat island effect. Invasive species pose challenges to these public resources, threatening the ecological health of the 8,000 acres of natural area managed by PPNR. Addressing invasive species management is an integral part of what we do as stewards of our natural areas. Our efforts are guided by our Natural Areas Restoration Plan and in accordance with our Integrated Pest Management Plan. Many of the investments proposed in options 2 and 3, which you'll see shortly, of this strategy would support frontline staff positions, increasing capacity to combat invasive species, improve natural area health, and increase community stewardship of our natural areas. Collaborations across city bureaus with other local and regional governments and community partners are critical to the success of these efforts. Invasive species do not acknowledge jurisdictional lines, and so coordination of invasive species research, best management practices, stewardship, and communication is vital. To this end, we appreciate the leadership of our partners at the Bureau of Environmental Services for tackling the work of drafting a citywide invasive species strategy, and we're grateful to Andrea Durbin and the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability for their support. If Council approves the strategy for this resolution, the city can work together to manage and control invasive species and get ahead of the curve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, Council President, Commissioners. I'm Andrea Durbin, Director of the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability. I'm pleased to be here today to support the invasive species strategy. As we know, Portland and the region face a number of challenges and stressors to our natural environment due to climate change. One result is an increase in invasive species such as English ivy, which chokes trees and increases the risk of wildlife in our natural areas. The Bureau of Planning and Sustainability has and continues to play an important role in combating invasives. We included an invasive species policy in our comprehensive plan, Policy 7.12. Our work on invasive species dates back a while. In 1991, BPS, with the help of BES and others in the community, created the Portland Plant List, which includes a list of native and nuisance or invasive plant species. Then in 2010, BPS's Invasive Plant Policy Review and Regulatory Improvement Project resulted in a comprehensive update of the zoning code to improve invasive plant management in development and non-development situations. The zoning code currently prohibits planting invasive species as part of required landscaping or mitigation. BPS maintains this list, and we welcome suggestions for plants that should be added or removed. Once we have a number of suggestions, we initiate an update to that list. With the Portland Plant List as foundation, BPS continues to work to find opportunities to limit the spread of invasives in our natural areas and open spaces through the city's environmental overlay zones, the river plan, and other mechanisms. These efforts are critical for preserving and expanding our native species and the fish and wildlife that depend on them throughout the city. I'd like to thank BPS staff Mindy Brooks for her participation in the development of the Invasive Species Project, and thank Director Jordan for inviting me to be a part of this today's panel. Thank you so much.
Thank the three of you so much. Commissioner Fritz, do you have any questions of this panel?
No, I don't. Thank you very much for asking.
You're very welcome. Commissioner Udaly?
Thank you, Madam President. Well, Mike, I thought the nastiest thing that you made us look at were failing sewer pipes, but I have to say the muscle-blocked water pipe is something out of a horror movie. So
we're always attempting to one-up ourselves.
Thank you for that. I just ate breakfast and now I feel sick. Who knew invasive species could be so fun? I just wanted to mention a couple opportunities. There's a local group called Rewild Portland that teaches basketry classes solely using invasive species like English ivy.
Oh,
so
wow.
Any of you interested in learning how to weave baskets, there's that opportunity. And then also, of course, the Audubon Society Backyard Habitat Certification Program helps property owners create natural, native, low-maintenance gardens that benefit wildlife. So, and also, there's volunteer programs where you can go rip the ivy up, which I'd like to sign up for, Adina. So. Yeah. Done. Keep me in the loop. Thanks.
For sure.
Madam Council President, if I might, just
yes,
in closing, as you can tell, this has been a collaborative effort between the bureaus, but the bureau staff at BES really took a lead on this. I want to thank Caitlin Lovell and under her direction, Paul Ketchum, Dominic Mays, Darian Santner, Ryan DeRocher, and Heidi Berg. This has been, again, a multi-agency and multi-year effort to get us to this point, and I really want to acknowledge their hard work.
Thank you so much. I have one question before you leave. I noticed that there are three funding options. What is your plan for funding this project?
Well, I can speak for our bureau, and we have built this strategy into our five-year plan. So we're fully ready to do that. I know that the bulk of the load, however, falls on parks with their large number of acres, and I believe Adina can speak to that.
Certainly. While we're doing some work now, certainly we're behind the curve, right? But this strategy, among many other management plans that we've been working on, will be rolled into the sustainable future work. So it is informing our alternative funding strategy moving forward. So it is included as part of the level of service work that we're hoping to fulfill.
Excellent. I had to ask that question. I would not be a good steward if I looked at, you know, this budget and not ask questions about how we would fund it, reminding the public that we have no ongoing new money. $100,000 is really no money at the City of Portland. And so I appreciate those answers. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Now we'll hear a brief presentation from Dominique Mays, Environmental Specialist from the Bureau of Environmental Services, and Rachel Felice, City Natural Nature Manager from Parks. Welcome.
Thank you.
Please give us your name and go for it.
Thank you, Council President Hardesty, Commissioner Udaley.
Would you say that again?
That's
a nice ring to it.
I like that ring. I could say it in a deeper voice, too, if you want. I'm Dominique Mays, Environmental Specialist with the Bureau of Environmental Services.
Good morning, Council President Hardesty, Commissioner Udaley, and Commissioner Fritz. I'm Rachel Felice. I'm the City Nature Manager for Portland Parks and Recreation. Thanks for having us today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. Invasive species are plants and animals that come from other parts of the world that wreak havoc on our native habitats, human health, and animal health, too, and infrastructure. The U.S. economy is costed about $120 billion a year. That's the cost of invasive species to the U.S. economy. That figure's a few years old. It's actually probably much higher now in 2020. Locally, folks have noticed for several decades a dramatic change in habitat conditions. This photo used to be a pretty typical scene in Forest Park, of native forests swamped with ivy and non-native clematis. It's important to point out that not all species that arrive somewhere new are problematic. Only a small subset of those are actually invasive species and cause problems for us. So several decades ago, folks in Portland were really proactive and started looking at the natural areas and this change in habitat conditions, and fostered new programs. You heard Director Durbin mention the Portland Plant List, which was adopted by this council in 1991. There's also programs such as the No Ivy League, created by Portland Parks and Recreation in 1994, which has been a model for programs across the country. So Portland really fostered this leadership in terms of a municipality taking a lead on invasive species prevention, control, and management. So we've had decades of success, and we'll hear more about those successes in a minute, but we also have a suite of species on Portland's doorstep. And here's that image from Michigan, which Director Jordan mentioned. These are quagga mussels clogging a pipe at a municipal water treatment plant. So U.S. Fish and Wildlife has determined where these quagga and zebra mussels to establish here in the Columbia Basin. The hydropower industry alone will see costs of $250 to $300 million a year in maintenance. And you know that cost is going to be borne by the residents of this area. And similarly, at a local level, we can expect the same. So previously, Portland was really focused, and we still are, on our natural areas, our green assets. We are taking a lessons learned approach from other municipalities and other parts of the country and focusing on our gray assets, pipes, sidewalks, pump stations, you name it. This council unanimously directed the Bureau of Environmental Services in 2005 to create an invasive plant strategy. Seven bureaus developed this. This was completed in 2008 and adopted by City Council unanimously in 2009. It has become the city's guiding document on vegetation management, and extensive community and partner outreach was employed in crafting this. Two highlights of that 2008 plants strategy, invasive plant strategy, are these two programs. One, at the Bureau of Environmental Services, the Watershed Revegetation Program. You can see that the original management targets, so our criteria for success, have been greatly exceeded or met over the last decade. And similarly, with Portland Parks and Recreation's Protect the Best program, which Rachel will talk about in a second, we have met those goals, which were considered kind of pie in the sky at the time of that 2008 strategy. People weren't sure we could actually do that. We conducted an extensive audit of the last 10 years of citywide work with invasive species and determined with a third party contractor that 90% of the actions prescribed in that 2008 strategy have been met, 44 original actions there. And as Director Durbin mentioned as well, this project sprang directly from that 2008 plant strategy, invasive plant strategy, the Invasive Plant Policy Review and Regulatory Improvement Project. And this is where the rubber really hit the road with regards to invasive plant management within the city, modified titles 11, which is tree code, 29, landscape, and 33, development. So this was groundbreaking for a municipality to do this. This hadn't really been done before for a city, and this has been copied all over North America, sometimes directly from our documents. So imitation's the sincerest form of flattery, right?
That's right.
Want me to hit the button?
Sure.
All right, so in terms of rubber meeting the road, this is an animation of Portland Parks and Recreation's program called Protect the Best. This is a program that was previously funded collaboratively with the Bureau of Environmental Services, and this program is in action. You'll see little dots popping up. Each dot that shows on this animation is an invasive species treatment in Forest Park, and each color is representing a different type of species that was being treated by this team. The Protect the Best is a small, nimble team of staff with the goal of preventing small infestations of invasive plants from spreading in our city's most ecologically healthy areas. The Protect the Best program was really innovative at the time it was established. It got going in earnest in 2007. And it's efficient and an effective way of delivering invasive species treatment. Instead of the more typical model of tackling invasive species where the infestation is heaviest, typically on the edge of our natural areas, this team goes into the most ecologically healthy areas and stops those infestations where they are before they get a chance to take hold. It efficiently protects healthy acres and tackles those invasive species before they get out of hand. You may have noticed that the dots in the pattern slowed over the last 2 years. That was due to some divestment from this program causing us to lose some ground. We need at this point to reinvest to fully fund that program, to go back and retreat these acres and protect the gains we've made across the city through this program over the last decade plus.
Advance?
Sure, that'd be great. All right. Now, I know this council has heard how strongly Portlanders feel about their parks and natural areas. In the Portland Insight Survey that was completed in 2019, respondents ranked having access to parks and natural areas as their top reason for appreciating living in this area. And that was true across age classes, across racial and ethnic groups, and regardless of how long the respondents had lived in the Portland area. Is our responsibility as a city to protect these parks and natural areas in an ecologically healthy state, not only for the biodiversity and ecosystem services reasons that you heard earlier, but also to honor what the people living here value about this place. To do that, we must work in collaboration with our local, regional, federal, and state partners, as well as community partners. As you heard from Director Long, invasive species aren't really good about stopping at the jurisdictional borders, and so we have to work with our neighbors on other sides of those lines to make sure that our best management practices are in a line in terms of monitoring, treating, and controlling invasive species. This allows us to be most efficient and effective and proactive. Community partnerships in invasive species education is also a crucial part of natural area stewardship and any good land management practice.
So here we are in 2020 proposing our invasive species strategy. So it's that all species approach. The previous strategy, of course, was just invasive plants. And it's really focused not just on prevention, as you've heard about already, but also, as Rachel has mentioned, protecting our investments. A ton of work has been done in our natural areas on private property and on properties managed by us and our partners. A lot of blood, sweat, and tears has been expended in resources. We need to maintain those investments. The current strategy has been crafted by six bureaus, two of which we represent all of them here today, both Parks and BES, presenting to you. And this strategy employs an asset management approach, which I think is pretty cool. It will assist us in identifying what risks are out there and how these risks might damage our natural areas and infrastructure. Since invasive species affect both green and gray assets, this is an important early step for the city in standardizing how we value these two types of assets.
All right, as you can see in this conceptual graph of watershed health, the investment that the city made after adopting the invasive plant strategy in 2009 resulted in an increase in watershed health as measured across a number of various city programs. Today, though, we're at a crossroads, and that's due to the increased pressures of climate change, increased population, and increased goods movement of people and goods worldwide. These are all the major pathways for invasive species infestations in our area. The strategy that we're talking about today has identified three potential funding options, as you all already noticed. Option one details the city's current level of investment for invasive species work, but due to the pressures that I just talked about, this will result in a loss of investment in the work that's been accomplished over the last decade plus. It is a reactive approach, it's not preventative in nature, and this is where we are now. We're not winning this battle. Option two is a modest increase over current investment levels, and it starts to protect our previous investments, but it's still reactive and only helps us to keep from sliding further towards ecological decline, doesn't do anything to move us forward. Option three sees an increase in overall watershed health in natural areas and the protection of our investments we've made over the last decade. Option three has a focus on prevention and a focus on community engagement. It would better protect our natural areas and trees against invasive species yet to establish here, such as the emerald ash borer, rather than responding to the rapid devastation they will inflict once they establish. This option will help us reduce the risk to both gray and green infrastructure, as Dominic mentioned. It will improve ecological health and engage more of our community in stewardship. To be clear, the question before the council here today, though, is not to select a particular funding option, but to vote on the adoption of the resolution to accept the Invasive Species Strategy 2020-2030 as direction for city bureaus to move forward in our work, combating invasive species, protecting infrastructure, improving the health of our natural spaces, and engaging people around what they love.
And those goals Rachel mentioned are encapsulated in six goals in this strategy. The strategy before you today also has a detailed work plan with success metrics identified to those work plans actions so that we know when we're successful. It also contains a detailed regulatory and pathways analysis. So where the city wants to go from here in terms of policy, and what are those pathways? How are invasive species getting to Portland? And if we know those pathways, we can hopefully prevent those species from getting here to have those costs down for the long haul. We are asking you here today to adopt this invasive species strategy as binding city policy. This will provide a recommitment to this proactive versus reactive approach and to provide cost savings over time. This strategy before you today represents almost 2 years of work of these six bureaus, and we are confident this is where Portland should be for the next 10 plus years. So with that, thank you.
Thank you both. I greatly appreciate that presentation. Commissioner Fritz, any questions for this panel?
No questions. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Udaly. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I would be remiss if I didn't remind the audience that this is going to be an extremely tight budget year, and so I hope that the bureaus, the six bureaus who have worked so hard together, are creative in figuring out how we fund this package. I'm absolutely committed to this package. I think it's the right direction to go, but I also have to, I would not be doing my job if I didn't remind you that we don't have extra money, okay? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Council President.
Caller, do we have people signed up for public testimony?
Yes, we have six people signed up.
Would you call the first three, please?
The first three are Diana Gutman, Lisa DeBruckier, sorry about that, and Michelle Delapine. Please come on up.
Good morning. Welcome. Please start.
Good morning, Madam President and Commissioners. So I'm definitely in favor of this specific agenda item for adopting the invasive species strategy. I think that this is a wonderful thing. And I just want to say thank you to the Parks and BPS for their presentation and advocacy for this, because this is shared land. And the climate change, it affects how the invasive species come to our land, and even going as far as to try to identify, you know, the six different pathways, that's huge. And so I hope that the council will vote aye on adopting this strategy. I believe that based off of the presentation, option three is going to be probably the most beneficial for this strategy, because not only does it focus on prevention and community engagement, which is very crucial because we are a community city. We are community oriented in this city. And again, this is shared land. So we want to be able to value that and let that prosper and grow. It also, you know, has a strategy of, you know, improving health. And that's really important, because when we have our lands being choked out by invasive species like ivy that is bringing down trees, people don't realize how strong these kinds of plants are in their own habitats, and they don't realize how when a tree goes down or when pathways with rivers are blocked, it really has a major effect on our ecosystem. And so I think this is a great strategy. I also think that it's very impressive that in 2008, we first started implementing this. And since then, 90% of the action strategies that were presented were met. And because of that, the City of Portland is setting an example on how to take care of their environment. So I thank you to everyone who's participating in it. And I know that option three is going to require more funding, but Commissioner Udaly brought up a very good point by working with community partners. And I think that it's very clever that community partners are even finding a way to adapt and work with these invasive species, like making baskets out of ivy. That is so clever. There's so much that can be done with these things. And I think it sets a really good example in taking it a step further of protecting our wildlife, protecting our lands, and teaching our community and the society how to recycle and be proactive.
Thank you so much. I forgot to mention that you each have 3 minutes each, and the light will go yellow, and there's a timer in front of you. She's an expert testimony person here, so I didn't have to tell her that. Thank you. Welcome. Please introduce yourself and start.
Hi, thank you. My name is Lisa Debrecare, and I'm president of Creative Resource Strategies. It's a woman-owned business certified by the state of Oregon, and I've been doing it for the last 18 years. I've spent about the last three decades working on a variety of natural resource and invasive species issues, and I'm the contractor that Dominique Mays referred to in his presentation that did the 10-year assessment of the first invasive plant strategy and helped lead with BES staff the development of the new strategy. I've spent the past 10 years focusing primarily on quagga zebra mussels and coordinate the Columbia River Basin Hydropower Vulnerability Assessment Team, which really helps look at how we can protect the Columbia River Basin in Portland from an invasive species. There's just a couple of points that I wanted to make today. One is, it's one thing for City of Portland staff to say that they're a model for other municipalities, but I do work in 16 Western states and the Canadian provinces, and I can assure you in the work that I've done throughout those areas that the first strategy did indeed serve as a model, and this one will as well. I think this initiative is especially important as it relates to the livability of people in the Portland area. The protection of green assets is equally important as the protection of gray assets. And historically, in municipalities across the United States, cities have done a great job of estimating the life of its gray assets and when big capital improvements need to be made and when maintenance schedules need to be made. But we've not done as good a job with green assets. And thanks to developments in Australia and New Zealand, there are places in the United States that are starting to do this. And I think this strategy sets the high water mark for changing that paradigm in terms of how municipalities look at their gray assets. And lastly, I just wanted to mention that in a lot of the work that I do with regions of the country and other places, city councils and boards often ask, how long is it going to take for us to keep making this investment to when we no longer have to make the investment? And I can assure you we are all in this for the long haul in terms of climate change and invasive species. They never go away. There's always a new one on the horizon. And so it's really important that the types of monitoring and other programs that are incorporated in this strategy are funded and implemented long-term so that the city can stay ahead of the curve. So as an Oregonian, I want to thank the city. I want to thank all of you for your service, for your vision, and for your commitment to recognizing the importance of this strategy and supporting it to enhance Portland's livability through the protection, restoration, and enhancement of its green assets. Thank you.
Thank you. Hi, welcome. You can pull the mic closer if it's more comfortable. Please give your name, 3 minutes.
Good morning, my name is Michelle Dalpine. Good morning to Commissioner Fritz, hi. Commissioner Hardesty and Commissioner Udelli. I represent a local perspective with invasive species. I work for the West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District, where I've worked for nearly 10 years on invasive species management issues. I've also been the past chair of the Ford County Cooperative Weed Management Area and have served 2 terms on the Oregon Invasive Species Council. And each of these organizations strongly supports the city adopting the next invasive species management strategy. Invasive species are second only to habitat destruction and the devastation they cause our ecosystems. And as others have noted, Portland is at the crosshairs of several new invasive species that are right on our doorstep. Some are already here. We have international commerce coming in by land, air, ocean, and rail, as well as an influx of out-of-state residents bringing contaminated yard equipment and potted plants with them. And all of these are immediate threats to our ecosystems here in Portland. We've had several close calls, including the Asian gypsy moth coming in on steel shipments from China, which would have, if we hadn't reacted very quickly with a EDR early detection rapid response, we easily could have been facing devastation to our conifer trees that we love so dearly here in Oregon, as well as a human health hazard with respiratory hairs coming off of the gypsy moths. We're currently facing a Japanese beetle infestation just on our borders in Bethany. And we also have successfully done a lot to eradicate the giant hogweed, which you probably have heard of, is also a very grave human health hazard. I work directly with the residents, landowners, city staff, watershed councils, and many other environmental NGOs across Portland and the greater region. And many of the residents I work with go on to complete conservation work on their property through the Backyard Habitat Conservation Program. And I've seen firsthand that the 2008 strategy set in motion invasive species management far across just the borders of Portland and really set the stage for management across our region. To minimize economic, environmental, and human health impacts requires a very proactive approach, or we will face costly, irreversible impacts to our people, places, and environment. Invasive species impact everyone from houseless communities, immigrants, renters, homeowners, working lands, and industries. Please consider this local perspective and approve the invasive species strategy in front of you today. Thank you.
Thank you all. Colleagues, any questions? Thank you. Caller, would you call the next three, please?
The next three are Terry, I believe it's Prieg Rigsby, Bob Solinger, and Clint Burfitt.
Good Welcome. Please give your name for the record, and you have 3 minutes.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Terry Prieg-Rigsby. Thank you for having me here this morning, Commissioners. I'm with the Trine Creek Watershed Council, as well as the West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District, with Ms. Stella Pine was just testifying. I am here this morning to urge you to adopt the new 2020-2030 strategy. To give a little example of how important it is that we support our native species by eradicating our invasive species, I want to share a Smithsonian study that found that the decline in backyard birds were due to non-native plants, and that's because 96% of terrestrial birds rear their young on insects, and over 90% of the insects eat only one or a few native plants. So our efforts in removing invasive plants and other species, including insects and species such as mussels, really do help protect our native bird species and other natives. I ask you to reinvest in our natural areas and parks to ensure that we're maintaining the investments that we've put in over many years, and to protect these programs, which are proactive instead of reactive. They're really effective, they're efficient, and I look forward to seeing Portland continue to set an example for effective invasive species management and community engagement, which is a critical component of this program, as well as maintenance and data, collecting data through that program. So we can continue to be a leader in this and establish best management practices that can be used in other jurisdictions as well. So I hope that you support the adoption of the strategy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, President Hardesty and Commissioner Udelli and Commissioner Fritz. My name is Bob Solinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Portland Audubon Society. We're here today to support adoption of this plan. We think the city has done a great job. We really appreciate the work of Dominic and Paul and Caitlin and Rachel and everybody else who put time and energy into it. As you've already heard today, you know, this is one of the most effective ways we can improve the health of our environment. It's not necessarily glamorous work, but if we want to get value out of the habitat we have left, this is how we do it. And conversely, if we don't do it, the risks to our economy and our environment are tremendous. So this is really one of those fundamental things that we've been a national leader on. We need to continue to be a national leader on. And that's the early detection, rapid response, that's protect the best, and that's expanding the program. And I want to really hit on that because we've kind of been stuck at protect the best in recent years, but we need to expand and do more. I fully appreciate the comment about the challenges with the budget. A couple of things there. One, we need to continue to invest in green infrastructure at BES through the rates. That's always in flux as to how we balance that green infrastructure. It's going to be critically important, especially in this time of transition, that we maintain that emphasis on green. And number two, I really hope that we continue forward with the work that was being done on parks funding as well, because we really need to get that under control. These are the programs that tend to get lost every year when we have a tough budget cycle in parks. So, appreciate all the work that's gone into maintaining them in recent years, but we have a couple of opportunities in front of us that we really need to continue forward on. Audubon's really proud to partner with the city on these things, this effort, both through our protection of our own sanctuary adjacent to Forest Park, through work on public sites, volunteer work, through our backyard habitat certification program that's already been mentioned that we deliver in conjunction with Columbia Land Trust. That's engaged almost 6,000 landowners throughout the metro region. It is a national model. It's definitely on the cutting edge, and the city should be proud of having both city programs that are on the cutting edge, but also partner programs as well. We're really excited that the city is expanding this to address animals, because that's been a missing piece, really, in recent years. And as you already heard, gypsy moth is a challenge. That was one of the first things I worked on for Audubon, was doing bird surveys when they were spraying overhead in Forest Park to eliminate gypsy moths that had infested that area. We have some great programs there that we'd like to engage the city with. For example, we have a nationally recognized federal cat reduction program that we were doing in conjunction with the Feral Cat Coalition, looking at humane solutions to reduce cat overpopulation in the metro region. That's become a standard nationally, really, for effectiveness and also doing it humanely in a way that brings people together. So I think there's a lot of opportunities there. So we encourage you to move this forward. We encourage you to be creative, and we're happy to work with you on that as to how to fund it. Thank you.
Thank you. Before you start, Bob, I just want to remind you, and I know you know this, Parks is funded totally through the general fund.
Absolutely.
As is our houseless services, as is fire, as is 911. There are other bureaus that have specific money based on rates, based on et cetera, right? Parks doesn't have that luxury. Fire and police don't have that luxury. It's all general fund. So we have what's in the general fund. Unlike the federal government, we can't go into debt. We can only use the money we have.
Absolutely, and I totally appreciate that, having served, I think, on more parks budget committees than anyone. I am hopeful that the process that was started last year, and I served on that committee as well, that was looking at different funding strategies for parks, was what I was referencing.
Oh, okay.
Because we know that the current status quo isn't working.
Yes.
So,
yes,
I'm
totally
thank you.
With
fully
you
appreciate
there.
That.
And as you know, I love parks, right? And I want parks to be fully funded, but I'm also a realist, and I can only spend what I have.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Hardesty, Commissioner Fritz, and Commissioner Udaly. My name is Clint Burfitt. I work as the State Plant Health Director for the United States Department of Agriculture, Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, Plant Protection Quarantine. At PPQ, our mission is to safeguard agricultural trade, safeguard agricultural capacity, and protect natural resources from the threats of invasive species. As you've heard today, invasive species can severely impact food crops and forests and threaten farms and the environment. Our biggest challenge is that they're easily spread by people through the things that they import and the things that we pack when we're traveling. For years, we've been working closely with cooperators like the City of Portland to develop effective ways of mitigating the impacts of invasive species. In this small step, these types of collaborations, when multiplied, can have a great impact and help protect fragile ecosystems and food crops, not just here, but around the world. I'd say that we expect the work the City of Portland is doing is helping achieve our mission of protecting natural resources, safeguarding agricultural capacity, and facilitating safe trade by connecting us with a critical audience in a way that encourages positive action by the community. APHIS Plant Protection Quarantine greatly values the City of Portland moving forward with a comprehensive all-invasive species strategy. This allows us to leverage local capacity and resources, and we've worked with the City of Portland for decades and look forward to that continued relationship.
Thank you so much. One last thing I forgot to say, Bob, is have you talked to Multnomah County Animal Control about the feral cat program?
Yeah, they're a partner in this, Multnomah County, Washington County, and again, the Feral Cat Coalition, and it's just so they've been a great partner. But I think there's a whole world of opportunity on the animal side that the city could be great allies in as well. So we're really happy to see that piece of this puzzle being put into place.
Thank you all. Colleagues, any questions? Seeing none, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Callers, anybody else signed up to testify?
No one else signed up. You didn't sign up. Someone has requesting to speak, but who didn't sign up?
Someone has asked to speak. We've got a little time, so who is it? Please come. Give your name. Yep. 3 minutes, please.
Morning.
Morning.
I'm disappointed most of
your
you
name
are
is,
absent today.
Your name is?
My name is Courtney Shannon. I am here to address a part that you guys have brushed over and kind
I'm
of
I'm sorry,
missed.
Courtney, this is not communication. This is specific to the subject at hand.
Yes, it
which
is.
Which is the invasive species.
Can I please speak?
No, it's not your time. It is. I am the council president.
Yes.
I just want to make sure that you're speaking to the issue. Is that what you're speaking on?
If I would be allowed to speak, you would
find
out.
You will be
out.
If you answer my question.
Yes.
Thank you.
It is certainly
Please.
Relevant.
You've got your whole 3 minutes. Go.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I'd like to know why it is that nobody else was asked that question when they came up.
Because you started talking about something that didn't appear to be related to the invasive species, so I just wanted to check.
By less than half a sentence.
You're wasting
well,
your time.
Yes,
but it's
you
your time.
Are wasting my time. That's really, really abusive, Joanne. Wow. I am here to speak about the chemical warfare involved on the House list in this action. I realize that there are a whole lot of great intent going out and killing things that shouldn't be here, but people shouldn't be one of them. And there is an unbelievable amount of reports that I'm hearing from the houseless community about
how
they've been sprayed.
This is not the issue that we are addressing.
How they have been sprayed.
I'm going to ask you to go back to your seat.
Very thing.
Please, if you're going to speak to the issue, you can. Otherwise, you're out of order. You are not speaking to the issue.
Putting chemicals in parks where people are sleeping is certainly speaking to the issue.
I'm going to ask you again, either speak to the specific issue or I'm going to ask you to go take your seat.
That's a problem. It's killing people. And apparently you're okay with it. That's disappointing, Joanne.
You're out of order. Thank you. Next. Please give your name. You got 3 minutes. Hopefully
Michael
you're speaking
O'Callaghan.
To the agenda item as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I would like to encourage the adoption of this, but I would like some clarification. We have global warming going on, which in its nature has shown that the plant species in the northern hemisphere are moving north. Okay? This is a ecological process that is unavoidable. I would like to differentiate between the plants and the animals. Certainly, the animals are a far more dangerous invasive species, like the gypsy moth. The plants are less so. Now, an invasive species, the definition is really quite elusive. Virtually everything on the North American continent is an invasive species. Apples are, you know, all the crops, all the stuff in the Willamette Valley. So what I see targeted here is English ivy. Now, an interesting thing about all these vine growths is that they are a byproduct of the increased CO in the atmosphere. The thing which absorbs the CO the easiest is the vines. So these vines grow prolifically with an increase of the carbon dioxide. So now you're contravening your desire to reduce the carbon usage in Portland if you go around killing all these English ivies or these plants that grow on vines. So it's kind of, interesting strategy trying to eliminate invasive species. Most invasive species of plants are okay. Now, we're not going to be able to secure this environment that we have now with global warming going on because, like I said, invasive plants are going to be moving in. So I think a better part of our funds would be spent on these animals that are invasive species. That seem to be a problem. And, going off subject, if I can, I think it's really too bad that the council doesn't allow people their 3 minutes to speak on whatever they want to speak on.
That's what the communication section is for. And you sign up in advance, and no one tells you what to talk about then. When we're talking about a specific issue, you have to speak to that issue.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
That's why there's so much opposition here versus
Multiple. Thank you so much. I greatly appreciate you being here. Colleagues, any questions? Caller, we're ready for the vote. Fritz?
Thank you very much for the presentation. Gosh, this has given me a trip down memory lane. I remember Tom McGuire and his work with Bureau of Planning on the Portland Plant List in 1991, which was about when I started getting involved. I was very glad to hear mention of the No Ivy League. The Sandra Diedrich Environmental Stewardship Spirit of Portland Award is named after its founder, and I spent many a happy time pulling ivy before I realized that actually we need more systemic treatments and a massive approach to invasive species. Certainly pulling it out by hand is one way to do it and definitely what people should be doing in their backyards. But in terms of the Forest Park, for example, it's just massive and it needs many more resources to be brought to bear. Really appreciate Commissioner Sam Adams, who directed the Bureau of Environmental Services in 2005 to bring forward the first strategy, and then, of course, Commissioner Nick Fish, who in his first term being in charge of parks, was the one to bring it forward in partnership with, I think it was Commissioner Saltzman, in charge of BES, so Environmental Services, to do that. And so I really appreciate that Nick and his team worked on this last year, or have been working on this for quite some time, to bring this to council. And it's a tribute to his leadership, being in charge of both Environmental Services and Parks, that we've got this fantastic update. I need to mention my support for option three. I'm glad to see that it was mentioned by Rachel Felice, who has done excellent decades of really great work, that this too is part of the funding option discussion for parks. It's not only the community centres and the recreational facilities and programs that parks have, that natural resources stewardship is absolutely part of what they do. And so that's why I will support additional funding via a new mechanism to make sure that we have adequate and sustainable funding for parks. And I hope that that discussion continues over the course of this year. I want to recognize also our community partners, Terry Prigg-Rigsby, who's not only been on the Triumph Creek Watershed Council, but has been elected to the West Multnomah Soil and Water Conservation District multiple times, and helped get the tax base passed for that. Linda Robinson and Bob Salinger from the East Portland Soil and Water Conservation District. Of course, no discussion of natural resources conservation could be complete without Mike Houck's name being mentioned, and just so many people who are recognizing that this is an important both problem that we have to deal with and opportunity. One of the things I learned is that although ivy may look nice, it's actually, or some people think it looks nice, it's actually a green desert, and it stops multiple other species from growing. So when you rip it out, not only new ground cover establishes itself, but also new mid-story and higher trees grow in. So that's why it is crucial for our climate change, climate crisis actions, that we make sure that we have a healthy understory and mid-story, as well as healthy ground cover. So I'm very pleased to vote aye.
You, Daly?
Well, thank you for the presentation, and I'm just going to say thank you to everyone that Commissioner Fritz just mentioned. And I appreciated the photo of the trillium. I basically grew up in the woods, and I was trained from a very early age that you do not touch the trillium. So I thought I would share that here now. I vote aye.
Hardesty.
2 years of work, 6 bureaus in collaboration, and community partners. You should all be proud of the work that you've done to get us to this point. This is a visionary strategy and proposal that you have placed in front of us. But once again, I cannot make any commitment of dollars or resources because we are not at that place in our budget deliberations as of yet. Know that I am absolutely committed to this invasive species program, as well as to parks and all the wonderful things that parks brings to our community. We will be having robust conversations over the next 6 months. You can be guaranteed, and I am very thrilled to vote aye. The resolution has passed.